Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Unfortunately, the Philly season is over earlier than we had hoped. But fortunately, we have one more call from Larry Anderson to help figure out what went wrong. LA, we're hoping you have all of the answers during this call.
Wait, it's over?
Yeah. Unbelievable, right?
It hasn't sunk in yet, but I mean, it has, but it hasn't. It's just... Just disappointing, you know, frustrating, I guess. When you look at what the team were, how they came out of the gates, you know, after the first homestand. But after that, I mean, they were unbeatable. It looked like there was no team that could beat them. But that kind of ended abruptly, I guess, starting around the All-Star break.
Well, let me ask you this, and it's a very open-ended question. But if I were to ask you just what went wrong, like why did it happen? What is your gut answer on that?
Can I use it? Just do one word.
Sure.
Everything.
Yeah, that's a fair answer. Yeah.
The pitching wasn't what it was. Ranger getting hurt, I think, and just kind of the bad back issue and losing whatever mojo he had going, and just the offense. I mean the. They said it last year after they said we need to stop chasing so much. And I think somebody reported after the Dodgers beat the Mets in that first game that they chased six pitches out of the zone in the first couple innings against Senga, whereas we chased like 18 pitches out of the zone. I mean, I don't think that's anything that's eye-popping news. That somehow we have to figure out that we're just not selective. I mean, I don't know. When you're this team, to me, I guess, is built to hit home runs. And if you don't hit home runs, you have either have huge peaks and huge valleys. Because when you're hitting home runs, everything's going right. And when you're not, nothing's going right. And the offense can overcome any pitching. The bullpen was great all year until the last month. Why? And I don't think it's fatigue. I mean, Rob Thompson was very careful. Like these guys, how many guys pitched more than one inning in an outing? I mean, I don't know how many times. There are very few. So, you know, pitching one inning every other day, he didn't like these guys back-to-back days. I don't see any fault there. I don't have put any credence in the fact that we had the gap after the clinching the division and then missing the first round because we weren't playing good. We were 5-8 going into that playoff series or into that stretch of days off. So I don't buy into any of that. It's just, to me, it just comes down to the when they needed it most, the players that they needed and had counted on all year failed. Just plain and simple. It was just an all-around failure. And that's there was no other way to say it. Offensively, only a couple guys did much with the bat. And the relief corps, I mean, I'm looking at these guys in the playoffs, and I'm going through and looking at the guys on these rosters and these bullpens, and like, three out of four guys that I look at, they haven't given up a run yet. We didn't have one reliever not give up a run. Mm-hmm. Not one. I mean, that's baffling to me. And again, I don't think anybody was overworked. I think it was just an all-around failure by the whole ball club. And there's nothing to point your finger at. Like, well, if this would have happened, or if they would have done this, or they'd have done that. It's like, no, it was everybody. It was a collective effort to lose early.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if there are things you want to point at during the season, I think you can focus on times where the lineup sort of went hot and cold with different players. But to your point, the starters in the bullpen was pretty much excellent all season, so that wouldn't really explain what happened in the postseason. I look at the postseason, and I'd say it was a complete team effort in the postseason. I think all facets sort of contributed. So with that being said, L.A., coming off the press conference the other day, listening to both Dave Dombrowski and Topper, I know it's still early, and they're not going to show their hand as to, at least Dombrowski isn't, as far as what they may do, as far as changing the roster. But it sounds like a lot of the same players are coming back. Pretty much everyone is under contract coming back next year. So how are we supposed to get a different result if we come back with pretty much the same team next year?
They have to stick to their philosophy or their guns about not going out of the zone, just stressing that. But I don't know that how is that going to change anything. Is it, are guys capable of doing that? Not chasing pitches out of the zone when they've done it for a couple of years now. That's the million-dollar question. It's like, what do you do? I mean, I don't know how much you change. I don't think you can bring in a ton of free agents or right. even one big free agent like a Soto. I mean, you got, what, $900 million, almost $1 billion wrapped up in this offense, or a lot of it. And so, I mean, what can you do? I mean, they've got to put the bat on the ball. I think I don't know why, but if we fundamentally, I mean, I don't think baseball fundamentally is near what it was 30 years ago. I just don't. You don't see guys hitting behind runners. You don't see guys taking pitches when they're down late in the game. You don't see guys taking pitches after a couple guys have been walked. You don't see guys trying to hit behind a runner, man on first, man on second, nobody out. You don't see guys trying to hit the ball to the right side. I don't know when baseball decided that those things aren't important, but they were important for 100 and how many years. But now all of a sudden, and I followed some of it with analytics, that analytics dictate so much of what's going on in this game. And then you look in the playoffs and you look at teams bunting. You see teams sacrifice the suicide squeezes. You see guys moving runners over. Like, why can't we stress that anymore? Why isn't that stressed at all? I mean, everything is just, it's analytics. And you look at some of the, you know, the coaches in the big leagues anymore. Some of them never played. How do you talk to players in the big leagues about playing in the big leagues when you never played in the big leagues? Stuff like that. It's baffling to me because some of these guys are very good with analytics, but they've never spent any time on the field in the big leagues. And the experience that you get in the big league, just being around other big league players. I mean, I look at from my own self experience and my experience, being around Steve Carlton, being around Nolan Ryan, being around Gaylord Perry. It's not that I want to be them, but I can certainly learn a lot from them, and I did. And I just think when you don't have that, you lose something. You're missing something. But to just, I don't know. I mean, how does Johan Rojas get here and not know how to bunt?
And then get sent down to the minors to figure it out, and then
still not a lot of fun.
Yeah, L.A., so we were listening to the pressers yesterday, and I think the most confusing or maybe frustrating moment is both Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson talked about using the entire field as hitters. You know, right. that we fell in love with pulling the ball. And Thompson got asked, is this something you stressed during the year? And he said, every day. So I just keep coming back to, and I either and Rob Thompson seems like a good manager to me, right? He, from right. My perspective. But I keep coming back to, it's got to be either the players are not capable or the voice that is telling them to do this for some reason is not connecting.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, and then back to Ike's point about everybody coming back, I just don't think the plan can be, well, we got to luck out and be able to hit home runs at the exact right time, because that just seemed, I know there is some luck involved in winning in the baseball playoffs, but that feels like we're banking on luck, and that seems like the wrong strategy.
I agree. But one of the things, like, I look at, like, and Thompson might have used this in his presser about Schwarber, who he made up his mind he didn't want to strike out so much. He started hitting the ball the other way early in the year, you know, hitting singles, not back legging everything and trying to hit it 500 feet. Not that he does that all the time, but he did. He made it, was very conscious of trying to stay up the middle or the other way with pitches, and I think it made a difference. He was driving in runs without home runs early in the year. So it's something that can be done, I think. They're big league players, and they're here obviously because they've got talent. Most of them, or they wouldn't be here. There's some around baseball that are here that shouldn't be here. I would say that. But most of the guys that I've seen, the guys that we have, I mean, they're big league players. If they can't make an adjustment to at least attempt to hit the ball the other way or to go up the middle instead of pull. But again, it's back to the analytics. It's home runs, strikeouts, and walks. That's what makes everything. You never hear anybody talking about pitcher's command. It's all about velocity and movement.
Spin rate,
velocity,
yeah.
Velocity and movement. That comes from analytics. Analytics can't teach a command, I don't think. And at least it hasn't shown me that. Because you get guys throwing 97, 98, but they can't spot a ball. They can't throw a fastball where they want 5 times out of 10. Maybe 3 out of 10. That's not a real good percentage. But it's not stressed. At least I haven't seen it. When I never hear anybody talking about it, I'm not talking about just our club. I'm talking around baseball. Where's those things that used to be important that mattered? That if you spotted, but this is like Curt Schilling said. He's like, Crucky and I think I mentioned this before, but he talked about Schill. And the one thing Crucky had said to him, like, you get behind, what are you going to do? He goes, I always got that down and away in my back pocket. I can do that. I can command that fastball down. Do we stress that? I don't know. I certainly don't see it. Not when everybody's pitching up in the zone and then you make a little mistake and it's hit out. I'm baffled that things aren't stressed enough. And if guys aren't willing to do it, to me, then it becomes incumbent. And I know it's not sit well with the players, but if guys aren't doing things the way they're supposed to, the way you want them to, set them down. Don't do it once. Do it every time they do it. To not running balls out, pop-ups that don't run out. Anytime like that, when you see it, like I want to see a player go to another player when something like that happens. Why not? But are these players, do they make too much money that they don't, nobody cares about the other guy? Nobody wants to confront a teammate and stand up to him and go, hey, we're not doing that way. That's not the way we do it. Come on, you know better than that. Something.
LA,
it doesn't have to be to embarrass him, but something's, I don't know.
It just seems to me that, and I'm not in there, that we talk about culture a lot with players and or with sports teams, and we repeat it over and over that the Phillies have a good culture. But I think you have to wonder whether just because everybody likes everybody else doesn't mean that it is the culture that is most conducive to winning. And the thing that you just said about having a player say, this is not acceptable, it just seems like everybody might be a little too comfortable with everybody else. From a player standpoint and a manager standpoint, I hate to use the word accountability, but it doesn't feel like anybody thinks about the consequences of not doing the things that you're talking about.
You mentioned to me one of the most important words, maybe not the most, but one of the most important words for a player. Is accountability. Where is that accountability at? That's missing. And it's to me that the most one of the most important things is being accountable to your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is if somebody's not doing something right, then another teammate should be able to go up and go, hey, what are you trying to do there? Were you think, hey, those two guys walked in front of you. What were you thinking about swinging at the first pitch? Or popping a ball up and say it gets dropped, or maybe you could be at second instead you're on first. Like, well, all kinds of different things. But somebody instead of the manager or a coach having to go to a player, and I I know Thompson is one of the best, and I think one of the reasons players love playing for him is that he doesn't embarrass him. He doesn't call him out, not publicly. I'm certain of the fact that he has words with players, with certain players, after things happen and not in front of everybody. But it's almost, you know, it's almost time to say, hey, call somebody, call him out.
Yeah.
Let people see that you're in, not that you're in charge, because I think the players respect Thompson, but I think even more so if you pull a guy out when he does something wrong, you're letting everybody else know, hey, if I can do it with this guy or with that guy, you know, you're next. Play the game right. And that's accountability. And that was one thing that I think with the 93 team, and I know players don't want to hear about the 93 team. It's 30-something years ago. But that team, they policed themselves. I think Jim Fregosi had one of the easiest jobs as a manager in the world, but managing that 93 team, because Dalton was a leader, but there was a lot of veteran guys on a team that didn't allow for stuff like that to happen. They would get in each other's face, and they weren't afraid of it. It wasn't to demean them or embarrass them. It was to say, you're not doing that right. This is the way we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was on board with it. Nobody had a problem with it. I saw guys getting other guys' face in the clubhouse a number of times. And it's, you know, because you don't want to be criticized, but at the same point, let's make these guys accountable. And to see that, I don't know why they don't or why they can't, or if it's they're just too worried about themselves. I don't think so. I think players all pull for each other. But part of that, too, is making those other players accountable. Yourself, you have to be accountable, too. If you're not accountable, it's tough to go out and get on anybody else. But there's some guys on this team, I think, that go out there and bust it and do what they can. Doesn't mean they're going to have great games every game. But they got to be able to go to somebody and go, hey, you didn't run that out. Or, hey, you know, what are you doing there? You got to try and move that runner over or whatever. It's just little things, but they make a huge difference. And accountability is one of the biggest things I think that we need to get to as a team from the top to the bottom. Be accountable and go, hey, this isn't working, and this isn't the way we do it.
Well, it's going to be, you know, it'll be a long off season, of course, but I think we are entering into a new era of this core of Phillies baseball, in that it was all fun and games because nobody expected anything for a couple of years. But they're learning this year, based on fan reaction and I think probably internally from the owner, that we're not in that era anymore. And they're really going to understand what Philadelphia is about, mm-hmm. now, because they will go into next year from the minute spring training starts. It'll just be, you know, we can get off to the greatest start in the world, but people will remember this now. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the players handle it, how the manager handles it as well.
And I think, too, to kind of jump on that, just like, people weren't expecting this in 22. They're expecting it now. After 22 and last year going in the playoffs, they expect this team to do better. And they should. I mean, we're one of the top five payrolls in baseball. There's a lot of money being spent out there, a lot more than some other teams that are in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And to be accountable. They've got to be accountable. And I think, you know, the fans expect that. They expect this team to win. And the players should expect that of themselves. I think they do. They have to push it even further, I think, and part of that is just making each other accountable themselves.
Well, we love having you on every week.
Mm.
And we're going to come back in the spring, all smiles. So
we're only going to talk each week after wins, right?
Yeah. Wow. Look, man.
As long as the team cooperates,
you make a couple of phone calls. Make sure that happens. I think we'd be fine with that too. Well, thank you for everything this year. We love having you on, and
that was definitely.
It ended the wrong way, but you know it's about the journey, LA. It's about the journey.
The journey's not over.
Yes, yes, sir. All right, LA.
All right, brother. See you in March.
All right, see you.
Yep.
Love that LA is an accountability guy.
Yeah.
That's why he's on this show.
Yes.
All our guests are all about accountability.
Yes.
We were all with LA when the game ended last week.
Yes.
When the season ended. So yeah. Seeing Fransky first come out.
Yep.
You know, and Fransky, he's like, hey, I don't know. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. What do you want me to tell you?
None of them made me feel better.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
The only guy that was feeling good was Mr. Parlay over here.
Oh, come on, man.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
Mr. Lindor, Ike Lindor over there.
I feel ashamed about that one, man.
Didn't feel ashamed of that money hit your account, did you?
No, I didn't. Oh, man, I forgot about that.
All right. Back to Sirianni.
Yes.
Can Nick Sirianni...
The other team everyone's mad at.
Yeah. Can Nick Sirianni win you back? 215-592-9494. Coming up next, you asked for it. We hear it all the time. You guys ignore the Flyers.
Oh.
You ignore the Flyers. All we
and then when
doing,
we talk Flyers, like, you guys are idiots.
Yes. All we were doing was waiting for the Meechkoff arrival.
Meech.
We're a big Meechkoff show. So we're going to debut a new segment coming up next. Flyers only. Flyers in 50 with Broads. We'll see if he can do it.
And that's not 50 minutes.
No.
Oh, it's not?
Nope.
But some people could have thought that's what was going on.
Yeah, come on. Meechkoff.
He didn't score 8 goals.
Yeah,
last
I hadn't
night.
Won anything yet. So have that. And also, Chris Long had something to say about Nick Sirianni.
C. Long.
Former Eagle and champion Chris Long. So we'll have that for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.